This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Baltimore Ravens, now that you mention it, the number 32 pass defense in the NFL.
Yep.
Guys, they've lost five in a row. I got to think of something pretty positive to think about here. This is just going to be a long funeral march for the rest of my life, it feels. So.
Yeah, and I don't even know if Jameis means winning. I just mean you're going to see an offense that doesn't look prehistoric. That doesn't.
We're going to get over 20 points on Sunday?
Right. I mean, that doesn't have numbers.
Are you willing to guarantee that?
No, of course not.
Okay, never mind.
Although I do think getting Wyatt Teller back could be a nice
certainly won't
addition.
Hurt. It certainly won't hurt.
You think
so,
he'll play?
Well, what
if he plays?
So what would go on with ownership if it works? What does that look like? Help me. I'm asking you a question, a legitimate question. Because take me through this. Because my first thought was doom when he came out and he said it. Because he has been a guy we've talked about. Is there too much on his plate for off and on for 4 years, and then he's willing to give this up. And my first thought was doom to the point where it's like, was this his decision? Because you're 1-5. Well, excuse me, I lose count. You're 1-6. Now the horse may already be out of the barn for some, but if it works. I think he's almost left in an impossible spot. You're not a playoff team. So if it works, it's that, okay, do you let go of a guy if you finish, I guess, I mean, let's go crazy and say, say you finish 8-9, all right? You do really well with Jameis.
That's a great run.
Be amazing. Say you finish 8-9. You're 6-3 over your last nine games or whatever the hell it is. So then after this, then you think about, all right, is he worth keeping? Well, you know, you're a game under 500. Or do you say, why did you hold on to this play calling when we brought in Ken Dorsey to take this off your hands? Clearly, this is working here. Can you use that against him? We failed to make the mark. We're supposed to be a playoff team. We've invested so much. We weren't a playoff team. Was it because of you? Like, I think he's almost in an impossible position now. Or he can be put in one. Like, hey, if you want to fire a guy, everybody will find a reason to fire a guy. But I think that this might be impossible. So you're bringing up, what if it works? Okay, well, under the best circumstance possible, Tone, before we get to the phones, what if it does work? Tell me what if it does work.
I think maybe that's your setup next year, is that Stefanski would actually be retained, and maybe Jameis would be your quarterback. And I don't know what they do with the Deshaun Watson part of it, but who the hell is going to want to see Deshaun Watson if Jameis Winston looks good the rest of the year? His teammates wouldn't. No, none of the teammates on the Browns would want to see that.
It's so easy to justify. He was a number one pick.
Right. I mean, and look, Sam Darnold has had a bounce back here. Jared Goff has not only been rescued, he's an MVP candidate, top three. Like, you're looking at all the Geno Smith, that redemption tour. Like, right. More and more, I think you could sell that. Now, is that a Super Bowl team? No, probably not. But you could certainly sell that going into a season, other than, hey, you've got a guy coming off a torn Achilles who was terrible coming off the shoulder the year before, who was terrible coming off the 4 years removed from the NFL, who's also got the off-the-field baggage, and started a war between his injury started a war between the fans and the players. Like, that's a much tougher sell going into next season.
And apparently some of the players are still fighting that war. That coming up at 720. 216-474-0092. I have another thing to bring up about this because you're going to hate it. Gerald in Pittsburgh, you're first up on the Fan. He's listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Gerald.
Hello. Can you guys hear me pretty good?
We have you, Gerald. Go right on ahead, friend.
Okay. It's sad to say, I do disagree with it, but I think this is their way of putting Stefanski out the door. I think he's kind of waving the white flag. I think he knows what's coming. And I like Kevin Stefanski a lot. I think he's a nice play caller. I think he's a good coach. You've seen what he's done over the last 4 years. And it seems to me like they're looking at, just moving ahead with Dorsey and Winston and just seeing how things look different. And if it does look good, I think they try to sell that as hope. And now I don't know what that means as far as replacing Kevin Stefanski, but it'll be a sad day if he's pushed out that door. That's all I can say.
Well, if they're gonna push him out the door, I don't think he's the only one who has to answer. You know what I mean, Gerald?
I agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I just think that's what's going to happen. I feel like they just. I think they're a little more invested in Watson than we might think. I think they're so tied to that money, it's just hard for them to, I don't know. We're in a bad situation, that's all. Thank you, guys.
Well, Gerald, that that's depressing, and thank you very much for the call. Sorry about that, Gerald. With Kevin, I haven't seen him give in yet. And I want you guys to notice this, and maybe I'm wrong on this, Anthony. He looks exhausted in these press conferences so far this year. He looks pale. He looks tired. He looks like he slept 2 hours a night. On the sidelines, I've seen two outbursts. I remember there was one outburst he had during a loss 2 years ago, and that was on the refs. And that I only noticed that because Nathan talked about it on the radio broadcast. You didn't see it. They did not cut in on it on TV. So we had to describe it to people because Nathan described it on the radio about Ken Dorsey or about Kevin Stefanski losing it. You know, this year, I've seen him rip off his headset two weeks in a row. The utter visible frustration that he had with the Washington situation and whatever that was. And you can tell, like, this is a man who's definitely seeing this starting to run into the wall, or that it's already ran into the wall, and he's doing his best. I've seen coaches kind of throw up their hands and go, this is it, this is it, this is what it is, and this is how this is going to go, and I just need to make this as comfortable as possible before we end this here. So I've seen that before. I haven't seen that in him yet. Once you do, I'm going to get the real gulp and go, okay, my issue of it is going, what are we actually fixing then? Because if this were to go south or continue to go south, I should say, it's already south, what am I fixing? Is it just Kevin Stefanski? That's just throwing a bone to fans who are angry. And then a fan who is angry, because Browns fans aren't stupid, they've been through many rebuilds before, Browns fans go, okay, you got rid of the head coach that a lot of us had mixed feelings on. All right, who's picking the players again? What's that history? Who's the guy in charge over in San Diego? What's that history? Like, you're only putting a coat of paint on the wall.
I wonder, in a way, like, we have seen Stefanski. I can think of three different instances in the last, like, 4 weeks where he has been furious on the sidelines before a play has even ran.
Yeah.
So that means that a play was called that he's watching, and guys are not getting lined up right. And I'm wondering, throughout the week, how is that happening? And I wonder if, and this is going to sound like excuse making for Stefanski, but I wonder if Stefanski's like, we and our staff, we have coached our staff to then in turn coach the players to be a certain way, and they're not getting it right, and we're 7 weeks in a year, and we had a preseason, and we had a training camp, and we had Greenbrier. We have worked all our way up to this, and it's been a total failure. And Stefanski has taken that in the press conference. He said, it's on me. But obviously, when people say it's on me, they also, behind closed doors, they scream at their staff. If anybody has ever actually been around locker rooms or been around coaching meetings or coaching staffs on any level,
with all of us,
yeah, they always do. Like they'll say it, it's on me, it's on me. But what are they doing behind the scenes? And I wonder how that leads to, hey, I'm turning over the play calling to somebody else. I wonder what that's all about, because that on its face, it makes no sense.
Well, do you think because they haven't been able to get plays in, he has shown frustration, do you think that he's going to go, you know what, bleep it, I'm going to streamline it, fine.
Well, so is
have
it,
him call the plays.
Is there a chance that Kevin's going to focus on everything else outside of the stuff on game day because they are getting all that other stuff wrong? So Kevin's like, the only way I can do this, I've been relying on other people for some of this stuff. Now it's just going to be me. I've taken ownership over it in press conferences. Who cares?
Maybe.
I mean, fans are even annoyed by that after a certain point.
Of course.
They're like, we don't care that you take ownership over it. We're still seeing the same illegal procedures, the illegal motions, and guys being lined up offsides on offense. You get like three of those a year in the NFL.
Maybe he thinks it's going, hey, we don't even have a chance to get this thing out because maybe you've added too many cooks to the kitchen with the offense. So I can't even get my personnel in right. Because now we have this stuck in the mud system. So I'm going to step over. I'm going to oversee everything, which means that Kevin's probably going to jump in and call a play or two, guarantee, because you're going to be in tight moments here and there. I can just about guarantee that. And you're also going to see, hey, do we have the right personnel here that we want to run? Do we have the right people out there? Are we getting more illegal motion penalties and illegal shifts and offsides on offense lined up for crying out loud? Like, these are the attention to detail that is costing you football games. NFL games, they're so tight, they're one on the margins. You can't make those mistakes. You have to be an uber-talented football team to get over those mistakes. It's impossible to do so if you've had any injuries, if you don't have the best quarterback play, and I think he recognizes that. That might not be enough to save him at the end of all this, but I think that he has to recognize that because every caller has recognized that over the first 7 weeks of the season. Every listener has recognized that. So I think for the first time, like, we've argued about common sense, and I've been the same person to tell you, I've been frustrated in the past because I thought a couple of years ago, I said, if somebody were to come out of heaven, if Vince Lombardi were to come out of heaven and say, you'll win this game if you run Nick 30 times. You will win. I will guarantee it. I accuse Kevin of being the type of guy who go, can you guarantee I'd lose? And if they said no, he'd find his way to win the football game. And that bothered me. Because for us, it's do whatever it takes to win a football game. And they're trying to put together pieces and puzzles. Well, you're 1-6. So now you need the opportunity to be able to put together pieces and puzzles. Because now the rumors are flying around that, what, you got the Ravens game, you have the Chargers game, and then you have week 10 and a bye week. And now the rumors are flying around about that. 216-474-0092. We'll get to some of you guys coming up. And we got November, December, we have 2 months. We have to bury the hatchet if we're going to get along with each other over the next couple of months, guys. Someone just assuming we hate everybody else. I don't hate anybody. I don't understand. Xavier P., you're all defending Kevin Stefanski because you all hate DePodesta and Jimmy Haslam. I don't hate DePodesta or Jimmy Haslam, clearly. Local media is defending Kevin because they think Jimmy's going to fire him because in the past he's fired coaches. We do know he hasn't fired a person who wasn't dysfunctional. That is completely untrue. Mike Pettine was as undysfunctional as you're going to find. There were a lot of people who were very dysfunctional around him. And Mike Pettine had to go in the end. I mean, coaches get let go.
All right. Yes. I'm raising my hand up in the air. Raising both hands.
No.
I'm putting my feet up in the air. I'm defending Kevin Stefanski. You know why? Because he's earned having a defense. How has he done that? Not just Coach of the Years. I know people are making a big deal. Who cares about Coach of the Years? And they list all the bad, terrible Coach of the Years or guys that get fired. Yeah, I know how this works. Some coaches, you know, have unbelievable runs, great seasons, and it really wasn't about them. Hey, one of them won a Super Bowl. We just coached against him or played against him, you know, 5 weeks ago. Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, this has been a good year. In fact, I gave him an F. I gave Stefanski 3 weeks ago. I was like, this is an F. He's been a terrible coach this year. But
I think he's been downright desperate. I can see that in the play.
I think it doesn't make any sense. I think there are always reasons. Like, Bill Belichick had some really bad years, especially at the end. Does that make him a bad coach for his life? No, of course not. He's probably the best to ever do it. The reality is, with Stefanski, is, you know, things have gone south here, and he has not been, I don't think, like the alpha dog that maybe this team has needed at times. I do think, unfortunately for him, that he's had some decisions dictated for him. I think OC was dictated. I don't think he wanted to fire Van Pelt. I think he was basically told, you have to, or strongly suggested to him. And this is a coach who should have a little more security for the type of success he's had in the NFL. And like I said, if he gets fired by the Browns, he'll take a year off and he'll be a head coach the year after. Like, he is highly thought of around the NFL. And people are not going to put this season on him. They're going to put it on the Browns. They're going to put it on Jimmy Haslam. They're going to put it on some of the dysfunction that that's rearing its ugly head again. And they're certainly going to put it on Deshaun Watson. They're not going to put it on Kevin Stefanski.
Is that belief a reason to hold on to him, though?
I think it may very well be because
this whole thing is, we keep talking about all these players who go to these other places and they end up playing really well for these other teams. I don't know. I mean, you talk about Belichick. Well, where did he get his start? All right. I mean, good God, I was just going over the video of somebody posted, I forget the name of it. It's a Cleveland sports history account. It's really, really good on Twitter. Who is posting the Sam Ritigliano, Marty Schottenheimer press conference where he was, because, you know,
after he was fired,
they used to have press conferences with fired head coaches with the team banner and everything behind him. It was crazy. And I'm thinking, gosh, this is an organization that, even though it was a different organization at the time, like, Marty Schottenheimer is a tremendous coach, or was a tremendous coach, God bless him. And you move on, and I don't know if you're always moving on for the forest for the trees. So do you want to make absolutely sure? Because out of the 5 years, you've had a really good year, bad year. Really good year, bad year. Like, you've had these years where we've kind of sort of putted around, and we're running out of time with some of the players. So is it better to just make a clean break at the end of this year?
That's what I'm getting at, is I might think Kevin Stefanski is definitely an above-average coach. I might think he is a top-8 coach in the NFL. That doesn't mean he just gets to have his job forever. Like, you have to evaluate at the end of the year, does he have his team? Do the guys not really respond to him? And when that happens, you break away. You break away and you wish him well. You hope he doesn't coach against you, because you know how good of a coach he can be. And we've seen instances of that. I mean, what he was able to do with last year's team earns him credit and earns the type of respect I have for him. Like, and that's why I'm sitting here defending him, because he earned it. There are guys that haven't earned it, and you guys want me to respect it or give credit to. And no, I don't need to do that. Like, Jerry Jeudy is not somebody who has earned any respect or credit. Deshaun Watson in Cleveland has not earned or generated any respect or credit. So I'm not going to give it to them. The coach has, so I'm going to give it to him. This is not a hard thing. You have a ridiculous defensive side. Like, I heard Nick yesterday in the afternoon continuing to go on and on about, why do you guys make excuses for Stefanski? It's because he's earned it. He has earned that respect and credit. I don't think this is really that hard. That doesn't mean that I definitely give him the job for the next 5 years. Like, if it wears out its welcome with this particular group, then you owe it to that. It's a lot easier to change a head coach than it is to change 30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Guys on the roster, so I think you got to take that into consideration, too. Maybe Kevin Stefanski's telling you some uncomfortable things about working with the front office. Well, then you have to make a decision. We do see power struggles from time to time. Like, one thing I don't want to see, me particularly, and this is a totally different topic, and I've run this by some people, like, is there a chance Andrew Berry's here next year and not Kevin Stefanski? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, I don't want that. I'm out. I'm out on that. The one thing I do not want is for this GM who's picked these players and had trouble in the draft. I do not want
Kevin more.
And dictated an OC decision.
I trust Kevin.
I do not want that to be the setup next year and then to run it back with Deshaun Watson. Like, are you kidding me? That of all the
what
potential.
What if they decided not to run it back with Deshaun Watson? It's all what ifs and what abouts, I understand. But, I mean, you got to ask that. Like, what if they're like, because it's going to take a year. You can say whatever you want to about 9 months or whatever. You're not going to sit there in April, unless these quarterbacks are just terrible, and one staring you dead in the face.
Well,
you're not going to not draft a quarterback because of that.
Kenny, you definitely are not giving him the starting quarterback job. If anything, he'd have to earn it. He's not being given it next year.
No, he's going to be my backup. He would be a backup. And he can, on Monday, with all the craziness that was going on, I go, no, you can bring him back and have him stand on the sidelines now. If you take Cam Ward, or you were to take Garrett Nussmeier, yeah, I know, whatever. Or Shador Sanders, that's an uphill. I am not looking forward to that fight because I think he's gotten so much better, but I understand that no one is going to want to have that argument because of craziness, but whatever, fine. If you take one of those three guys, they'll be focused on them. They'll be focused on that quarterback. And Deshaun Watson's, people don't want to talk about him to begin with. And now that he would be a backup quarterback, they really don't want to talk about him. So then you would have this other quarterback, this young, fresh face coming in, that people would put their hopes and dreams behind. Do I trust Andrew Berry to make that pick right now? No. Can't say I can.
No.
Can't say I do.
Absolutely not.
I want to get to another point here because, I mean, we got Mary Kay coming up at 8:20. I'm struggling on whether or not Shelby Harris has a podcast. I'm struggling on whether or not I want to play that audio because I don't know if it's proper context. And this has been a bad week, guys. It's been a bad week between our relationships. I've been very defensive of Browns fans. I think Lima, at the beginning of the week, I think you were going, hey, you guys need to knock this off. And I think as the week's gone on, you're like, all right, it's time we move on. Let's go. Like, enough of the being worked up about the fans and some of the goofballs who were cheering about the injury and things like that. Nick Chubb was asked about it, though. He said he understood that, not everybody. There wasn't a lot of people who were hooting and hollering after the injury.
Well, you know, I thought it was disappointing that some people did have a different reaction, but I know we're all in this together, us in Cleveland. I know that everyone didn't feel like that, but I mean, it's a tough situation, but, you know, we all love Deshaun here.
Now, the new starting quarterback, Jameis Winston, was asked relatively the same question. Here's Jameis's answer.
I feel like I made it very clear of my love and passion for these fans and how grateful we are that they are passionate fans. I just know that there's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things. And I'm not saying that every fan made that decision to act in that way. If you are concerned about that, man, just pull up to the game and let's show up. Let's show up and show out and whatever you feel, let it be felt. But we need you. I think it's so important when you have a storied fan base to support their team. And I know we cannot do it without you.
Now, I hear him, and I mean, he looked dead in the camera. Like he was about to head out for WrestleMania 9. And what he said on Sunday drew the ire of some people. They're powerful words. He's a powerful speaker. And then you heard this, and he's like, hey, I understand that not everybody was doing it, and not a lot of people were doing it, and I love the fans. And you just heard what he said. There's a clip going around of Shelby Harris on, this is his podcast, I believe, We Are the Harrises.
We Are the Harrises.
Okay. Yeah. I still don't know if I want to play it. It's a 30-second clip, and it doesn't lead much to context. But in the clip, he says, it's going all over the internet. And what he says in it is, you know, you lost the players. And as a Browns fan, like, I heard that yesterday and I immediately saw red. Because I started to think, who are you to tell me we lost you? Who are you to tell me anything? I mean, you're a journeyman. I started thinking that. I go, wait a minute. I've only heard 30 seconds of a probably an hour-long podcast. Who knows what he said outside of that? So maybe he is saying, hey, there wasn't a lot of people doing it. I don't know. But this is where we're at right now with the face in the team. And there's things that I've had to go back on and say I was wrong about. I think I'm right about this. Anytime players put the fans in the crosshairs, they always lose. In this city, they always lose. And I hear Nick Chubb, and I hear Jameis Winston, who was talking tough on Sunday. Like, they're kind of extending the olive branch here. Is this something you
think... Are the fans extending their olive branch?
I kind of want to know.
Or do you think they don't need to?
I want to know. Because there's definitely, again, there's so many people. I wasn't going to defend the people cheering. I'm still not defending the people cheering. I don't think it was as many as what some people make it out to be. I was there. I saw it. I saw it with my very own eyes. And yes, there were goofballs and a-holes who were yelling and screaming and hooting it up. And there were several people around them telling them to shut up who were Browns fans. Who were Browns fans telling them to shut up. And I don't want to put dirt on the name of Browns fans because of a gaggle of people. I don't want to do that. People get ripped up. They get loaded. They go to football games. They say things they don't mean. It's a mob mentality. And maybe some of those people don't feel like they should have done that. I wasn't going to defend that and go, oh my, because there were several people going, well, you know what Deshaun Watson's been accused of. Oh, okay, I don't think that two wrongs make a right. I'm not gonna make myself look bad based on that. And I don't want Browns fans to look bad based on that. I also know this happens at other places. Does that excuse some of the behavior? No. No. But we got two more months to get through, and I just got done watching a Guardians team. They are likable. The fans like these guys. And last year, you guys loved each other. Loved each other. Fans and players, it was as good as it gets, man. And here we are 10 months later. And we're on Thursday, and we're playing clips, and we're still going over it. And I'm like, man, it's not going to be a good year, guys. This team is not going to the playoffs. I'm worried about the head coach's job. I'm worried about the general manager's job. I'm worried that I can't say I trust the general manager. I don't want this thing to end. I didn't want last year to be as good as it gets. Looks like it's probably going to be as good as this run gets. We got to make it another 2 months, and now we don't like each other? There's going to be tumbleweeds.
Well, does it
over at the stadium?
I mean, Myles Garrett had some of the strongest comments. You want him back next year, right? Like, we can get past this. Like, the emotions of overnight. Like, those players, you could tell. Rodney was here with us. We talked to him off the air. They never in their wildest dreams could ever imagine a player, one of their teammates, getting that kind of treatment. They can't, no matter who it is, no matter what their background is, they can't believe it. Because they're out there like it in there. You heard them, and I've heard people say, guys, you play football, you're not sitting there on the front lines, you know, in the military and battling overseas. Like, you're not doing that. You're playing. But to them, they're like, every play could be my last. I could get CTE, and you could hear terrible stories about me 20 years from now. Like, they think about that stuff openly every day. So they couldn't believe it. They could not believe that anybody, forget whether it was 100, 1,000, or 2, they couldn't believe it was even 1. And so they're carrying that with them. And now the fans are like, you had the audacity to, we pay your salaries, even though it's really the TV networks that pay the salaries now. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here in Chubb and Winston, who were the only two players who spoke yesterday, I believe, doesn't it sound like the players are now taking a different approach to what happened on Sunday? It sounds to me like someone has talked to them, whether it's PR or maybe a defensive leader that comes into this studio for an hour.
Yeah, maybe.
Heard Ken say, hey, it wasn't everybody. And we heard a lot from our listeners about, why are you saying this or letting this guy say this thing or that, or and not defending a certain side. It sounds like there's a different approach come the new game week.
Probably, but that might help. course, they're still going to lose a lot of games probably the rest of the year.
Yeah, but it's also, I think there comes to be a realization going, hey, you know what? This is all, it makes it easier if we're all in on this together. Yeah. I know that this is not this type of season that we all wanted it to be. And they're thinking, you know, we got to run out there in front of them on Sunday. And I don't want to be against them. We can't play 11 more away games.
Right.
We can't do this.
They've had
enough of
those.
We can't continue to do this. It was for those that were involved, which I still think was a slim amount of people, it was an ugly scene. It certainly was an ugly scene. Things boiled over. Things got ugly.
It's going to be talked about forever. It's going to be part of the history of that stadium
But it's been done before. Like, you have a guy like Tim Couch. Tim Couch, people have certainly done it and said.
And that's true, and we still talk about that to this day.
And they do. But it's like, hey, you know what? Like,
people actually like Tim Couch.
That's what I'm saying. They look at it and go, hey, man, I kind of regret all that going down. That was a tough situation. Tim, we like you. You're a good dude. Like, that's kind of gone away. And it's like, can we get through this and can there be time?
A lot of fans got over the LeBron in Miami, the playing for the Heat night where it was really ugly and we got a bad rap for how that game and how volatile it was and how the scene inside, the people, the reporters were like, it was the most horrific thing I've ever been. It's like, oh, he got booed a lot and he actually had a fan come out and hug him that actually embraced him on the floor. Like, this is going to get talked about for a very, very long time. People are absolutely going to remember this. The question is, what do we do with that? How do we get on with it? You're right, Owen. Some of those players yesterday seem like they are starting to turn the page.
They look at their social media, and they see some of the reaction. They all like Rodney. Rodney shared his piece from our clip on Tuesday. I don't know if I want to go that far, but maybe it's possible. He's a leader.
Yeah. I saw some people yesterday that said, hey, I was really mad about Rodney in the moment. I thought about it 24 hours later. He was actually very calm and was actually very, very open and welcoming to fans. He was mad, obviously. So maybe we all just need a couple of days removed, a week removed, maybe a month removed.
That's probably the best in most situations.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
All right, I hope everything's okay with Mitch over there, because apparently he's the victim of an attempted scam.
This might be the first time in our entire time knowing each other I felt bad for Mitch.
It's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
I like the wording specifically. I became a victim of credit card fraud this morning.
I am a victim of credit card fraud this morning.
Explain yourself, Mitch.
I got a text last night saying, hey, did you get charged $20 for this particular service? And I said, no.
What was the service?
It was for OnlyFans. Which I've never bought one single thing on that site, so I don't know what happened there. And I had to call a woman at 2:30 in the morning.
We're an honest show. We tell the truth here. Come on now.
They do have free accounts.
Do they?
They do.
All right, you've never typed in one individual's name just to see what the front page of OnlyFans might look like?
I know I have.
I'm aware that 70% of the thirst traps that I come across on TikTok usually have links that lead to the OnlyFans, but I've never bought one thing on the site, photo or video.
Yeah, TikTok's free, but they got to monetize it somehow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you get a little taste for free, and then everything else you pay for. You know,
so you were assessed, a one-month subscription?
I don't even know what it was. It said $20 at first, and then my credit bill, I checked it, and the guy apparently charged like $100 worth of OnlyFans bucks. No. I don't even know what the cash value is on that site, but it's essentially to buy things.
They're like camel cash. You get
Canadian Tire money.
Get that leather jacket. Did you at least say, hey, is there a username and password associated with this account?
I was hoping that he would have subscribed to some good accounts that I could have access into, but no.
Did you see any?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
So Jessica Evil Eye, a former guest of the show and friend of the show, we haven't talked to her in a while. She has an OnlyFans account that she's very public about.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Yep.
That's
anyone else been in the studio that you know?
Moving on there, bud.
That's anyway, here nor there.
So, Mitch, what did you call him?
I had to call the poor woman. Shout out to the credit card service woman.
Shout out.
Helped me out at 2:45 in the morning today.
Oh, my God.
Right as I woke up after I saw the text. They have a 24-hour service, so it wasn't crazy.
Oh, my God.
And she took me step by step through the whole thing. I'm getting a new card in a couple of days. What sucks is that this was on my old credit card that was set to expire this coming month, November. I just got a new credit card in the mail a few days ago, same number and all, and now that one and the old one
I have to
cut up.
You're going to have to redo everything.
Is it a bank card or is it a credit card, son?
It is thankfully a credit card, so I won't have to deal with anything with my bank.
I'll tell you what, I will say $100, there have been times I've had to change everything, and I might have paid $100 not to change everything.
Liz got frauded twice in like 2 weeks, and yeah. I had to go to the bank and have it changed because they were like, well, we've issued you 3 cards in 2 weeks. Like, they did not recognize me as a person anymore.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bank physically and show up with 2 forms ID and sign the papers and all this other stuff. Because it's like, well, you've had this happen to you so many times. We actually had to go away from that bank.
It is the best way to get out of that gym membership that you no longer use. Or that, for me, I had a car wash one for a company that doesn't even exist. It's been bought out 4 times by now.
They wouldn't let you out of the deal.
They would not. Like, I would call the number, and they would just put you in the service loop.
Yep.
And then I canceled my card, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. Is this your first time ever, Mitch?
This is my first time being defrauded, yeah.
Okay. Well,
it won't be the last.
It won't be the last.
I still think that burning desire, that curiosity to know, I got to know what account. You got to level with me, lady. What's the account? At least, don't even give me the username and password. Just give me the actual free part of the account, because I have to know what this money, why I was defrauded. Because at times, they'll be like, you'll get a message on some of these attempts, like a washer and dryer at one of the big box stores. You're like, okay, I know what it was used for. In this case, just OnlyFans. I need more info. I got to find out what it was about.
Yeah. I would like to know the account, is what I would like to know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app